Man, it was good. It was good this morning to sing about Christ as our firm foundation. But just before we start this morning, I just want to say many of you are aware that a family in our community experienced just a really heartbreaking tragedy a couple of days ago, and I just want to say, I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure you will soon, but it was good for me to sing those words over those children this morning that Christ is our firm foundation, and that He will not let them down, and in the name of His Son Jesus. And I believe that this morning we're going to continue to pray for that family. And there's going to be ways that we can serve them that I'm going to be able to let you know about coming up really soon. But as of right now, I just want to say together that we're lifting them up. And those of you this morning whose hearts are hurting for them this morning, I just want to say it's good for us to confess together that Christ is our firm foundation, that He's never let us down. So anyway. So this morning, as I was getting ready, we're in a series right now called "Throwing Smoke," and we're talking about what it means to win victory in Christ, right? How our lives can be like the lives of those disciples and the early church, where God took this ragtag group of people and literally turned them into an unstoppable force for the sake of the gospel. And anytime you're thinking about, you know, baseball, you know, like I have been almost obsessively now for a little bit of time. Anytime you're thinking about baseball, there are a couple of movies that come to mind. One of them is Major League, okay? There's a character in Major League. My favorite character in Major League is Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn, played by Charlie Sheen, okay? And he was this, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not suggesting that you do, okay? But if you haven't seen the movie, Ricky Vaughn was a ex-con, right, who was brought onto this baseball team because the owner is trying to lose, okay, wants to lose. And so Ricky Vaughn brought on to this team, and he can throw like 100 miles an hour, right? He's got a great arm, but he has absolutely no control over his pitches. They just go everywhere. There's this amazing scene. I wanted to show a clip from the movie this morning until I realized there wasn't a 1.5 minute clip that I could show in church from Major League. So that was the problem. But there's this scene where they're all in spring training and Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn is throwing, and I mean, he's just all over the place. He like breaks a sign behind in the batter's box behind the dugout behind the batter. And I mean, just like he just is all over the place. And he just has no accuracy at all with his pitches. And what ends up happening is they figure out that Ricky Vaughn needs glasses. That's what they figure out. And so they put a pair of glasses on him, and all of a sudden he can throw strikes, and he turns into this amazing pitcher. And I've been thinking about that as I've been preparing for this week, because last week we talked about how important the windup is in a pitch, but this week we're going to talk about how important our aim is in a pitch. If we don't have our eyes, if a pitcher doesn't have his eyes zeroed in on the catcher's mitt, right? If he's not focused on his target, then I mean, there's no telling where that pitch is going to go. There's no telling what kind of damage it can do, right? And so a pitcher being able to zero in, to focus and to aim at the target, is important. You will not hit what you are not aiming at, okay? And that's just a simple truth that we all know. But the problem is, I don't know about you, the problem is I have a hard time with this. Okay, I am super ADHD, all right? And I know that comes as a shock to many of you, but I'm super ADHD. I've really struggled with focus, and in my life, I can feel a lot like Ricky Vaughn. I can feel like I'm just throwing the ball all over the place, all over the park, and not really able to hit the zone at all. And I know that there's probably some other folks here this morning, and that's how you're struggling. Your life right now feels a little out of control. It feels like you're just chunking the ball all over the field. Or maybe you're wondering even or struggling even right now to know what are you supposed to be aiming for in your life. Because it feels like some of the things that you kind of leaned in on, you kind of zeroed in on, those are things that aren't really working for you. You're wondering right now, why am I not throwing strikes in my life, right? And at the same time you're wondering, why am I not throwing strikes? You're distracted by the guy who's dressed like a clown sitting in the third row on the first base side, right? You're distracted by the people who are sitting up in the stands, your family up in the stands, you're waving at them, right? You're distracted by the Snickers ad that's behind home plate, right? Because you're not yourself when you're hungry, right? And so all of these things are creeping into our consciousness and into our minds. And there are all these things that are clamoring for our attention right now. And it's really tough to kind of sort through everything to get to what we're supposed to be focused on, what we're supposed to be aimed on at. It's even tough to identify what should the target even be. But one of the things we know about the early church, this first group of ragtag misfits, right, that God turns into an unstoppable force for the sake of his kingdom. One of the things that we know about them is that they were laser focused. And the reason is because Jesus told them exactly what he wanted for them to be focused on. Right before he left, his last words to them, he told them exactly what he wanted for them to be focused on. And friends, this statement from Jesus to his disciples and to those first people who were serving him and following him, that statement is as true for us today as it was for them. And so if we want to know where our focus should be, all we have to do is look at Jesus' words, because he tells us very clearly in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, my good friend Keeley just read that to us a second ago, but we're going to read it again. Here's what it says, Acts 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So y'all, our purpose, our job is really, really clear. Jesus does not make this complicated, right? He's not ambiguous about what it is that he wants us to do. We are witnesses. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what our lives are about. Our purpose is clear. Our job on this earth, if we have surrendered our heart and our life to Christ, our job on this earth is to tell people about Jesus, period. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be aimed at, this essential purpose. Everything about who we are, everything about how we live is supposed to be marshaled in the service of this essential task. Y'all, when a pitcher is pitching, he looks in at his target. He keeps his eyes zeroed in on the target. And he keeps his eyes zeroed in on the target all the way through his entire pitching motion. Most pitchers do that. They find that target and they zero in on it. Their eyes are directed toward it the entire time, because here's the reason. Your body will naturally align with where you're looking. Wherever your eyes are, your body will kind of naturally fall in line with where your eyes are. And the fact of the matter is that for Jesus, he wants to be clear. He wants his disciples to have this kind of focus. He wants them to be zeroed in on what their purpose is. Because if they're zeroed in on what their purpose is in him, right, then that means that their lives, their actions are going to kind of automatically align with that purpose. And so the same thing is true for us today. And look, y'all, Jesus is serious about this. And Matthew records a version of this same encounter that the disciples have with Jesus before he ascends into heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, here's what Matthew records about this same encounter. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, y'all, Jesus is telling him in this passage that their purpose, in their whole purpose in life from this moment on was to make disciples. That was their whole purpose. Well, what did he mean by making disciples? What was he talking about? Three kind of essential things. First, he wanted for them to tell people the good news of who he is, the good news of his love and his sacrifice. He wanted for them to share the gospel with people. And then he wanted for them to teach these people to live in the Jesus way, right? And then lastly, he wanted for them to equip these disciples to make disciples themselves. That's what Jesus was talking about. And that's what he was doing. That was to be the disciples' sole purpose in life, was to achieve that. It's the one thing that Jesus commands them to do going forward, right? Make disciples. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Paul on Easter Sunday telling the church in Ephesus about the resurrection, right? He was describing what the resurrection meant for the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, this is what he says. He said, he's talking about God here. He says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And here it is, verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he's done for us who were united with Christ Jesus. You understand, like the resurrection, the whole point of the resurrection is that you and I will be examples of the kindness and the mercy and the love of God. The whole point of what Jesus accomplished in the resurrection is that we would be able to be lifted up so that other folks would see what God is doing in us and they will be moved to receive his love and his grace as well. The whole point of everything that God is doing in your life is to make you an example, a witness. We are witnesses, friends. And here's the thing, even though that's supposed to be the central focus of our lives, for many of us, it's not even a part of our lives at all. And that's just the truth. We are witnesses, but friends, we need to focus. We need to focus. We're focusing on all kinds of other things right now. Is that fair to say? Pouring our effort and our energy into how we can advance in our careers. But listen, what if our career was just the place God had placed us so that we could share the good news of his love with others around us? What if our career was just the mission field that God had called us to? We're pouring our effort and our energy right now into having a certain lifestyle. But what if we understood that the trappings of our lives were ultimately empty, that only living our God-given purpose can provide the peace and the meaning that we're so desperately searching for? We're pouring our effort and our energy into being accepted. But friends, what if the only acceptance that can actually fulfill us is the acceptance that comes from our Savior when we do what he has commanded us to do? We're pouring our effort and energy into providing opportunities for our kids. But what if the only thing that matters for our kids is that they surrender their lives to Jesus and spend their lives testifying to his love? What if that was all that mattered this morning? Here's the thing. Y'all, throwing our lives at the wrong target is really, really dangerous. Ricky Vaughn was a menace, y'all. In training camp, the manager looks at his pitching coach. He's like, man, you better teach that guy to throw strikes or he's going to kill somebody. And that's the truth. That's the truth that all of us live in. If we're aimed at the wrong thing, if our lives are directed at the wrong thing, we will do damage. We will hurt ourselves. We will hurt others. We will hurt the people we care the most about. If God's purposes for our lives are not our central focus. And it's important that we acknowledge that. It's important that we know that. And listen, I get it. I get it. It's hard. It's harder than ever for us to focus right now. There are more things clamoring for our attention maybe than there ever have been in the history of the world. You know, there's this moment before every pitch where the pitcher kind of takes a deep breath and settles himself, clears his mind, prepares himself for the next pitch. And we talked some about that last week, but it's possible that for some of us today, we need to take a deep breath. We need to refocus. We need to remember where we are supposed to be aiming. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine right now that the Lord in the dugout has called timeout and he's just walked out to the mound and he's pausing with you and he's reminding you of where you are supposed to be throwing your pitches. It's time to refocus. Time to take a deep breath. Time to remember where we're supposed to be aiming. And friends, even really good things can be a distraction. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, listen to what it says next in verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." And guys, they witnessed this, all of these incredible miracles. They'd heard, they'd seen the resurrection happen. Jesus tells them, "Here's your purpose." And he ascends up into heaven, and all of them are just gathered around, like staring up into heaven until they can't see him anymore. And I imagine like he's gone for a while and they're all still standing there. "Can you see him? No. Can you see him? No, I can't see him. I don't know where he went." Until finally a couple of angels appear and they're like, "What are you morons doing?" Right? "What are you doing? What good does it do you or anyone else for you to be staring up into the sky? Jesus, remember that this same Jesus that you saw go is coming back. And all these things he's commanded you to do, all these things he desires for you to accomplish with your life, he's going to hold you to account for them. What are you doing?" And friends, that's where some of us are. Man, we've experienced the goodness of God like we were just singing about this morning. We've experienced the goodness of God, and we're all just standing around, staring up into heaven, singing the goodness of God. But friends, we've forgotten that the reason we've experienced God's goodness is so that we can share his goodness with people who don't know it. That's why. And we can't stand around staring up into heaven and thinking about what God has done for us in the past. He has a glorious future for you and I. He has glorious purposes that he wants for us to accomplish. And if we're standing around, we will never experience it. It's time to get moving. It's time to run down off of that mountain. It's time to do what he told us to do. So we need to focus. But the best news that you see in this passage is that we are being equipped. I love how Jesus didn't just say, "Okay, guys, you know, go get it." We talked about this last week. He didn't just say, "Go to it." You know, he said, "Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Hang out in Jerusalem. Wait. Don't do anything. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you." Jesus is saying, "I have this purpose for you. I've got this plan that I want to accomplish in you, but guess what? You don't have to do it in your own strength. I'm not asking you to perform for me. I'm going to empower you to do it." Look at what he says, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, one more time. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Friends, make no mistake. There is no mistake about what's happening in this passage. He says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that word power in the Greek is this word dunamos. It's the same word, that the root for the word dynamite that we have. It means power that reshapes and reorders our reality. The word literally refers to miracle power. There is no question at all about what kind of power Jesus was giving his apostles and his disciples when the Holy Spirit came to them. There is no question at all. And there's no question at all what kind of power the Lord wants to pour into you and into me, right? There's no question about what God wants to do. God wants to make us a miracle people. That's what he does. That's who he is. But let me just tell you, this is what really bothers me. So many times, people read this passage and they focus on the wrong thing. They focus on the wrong target. We get so excited about the power. We get so excited about the Holy Spirit. But listen, the reason for the power is to be witnesses. That's why the power is given, so that we can testify to the love of Christ, so that we can point other people to Jesus. That's the whole point. And I need to say something to you this morning. Listen, with all the love in my heart, please hear me. If the Holy Spirit in you is not compelling you to share your faith with others, it's probably not the Holy Spirit that's at work in you. No matter what kind of other manifestations or gifts or whatever you want to call them you're experiencing in the Spirit, if it's not compelling you to share the gospel with unbelievers, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit compels us to run toward the lost, empowers us to accomplish our purpose. The Holy Spirit will enable you to clear your mind and to focus and aim. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So you can tell when something is not the work of the Holy Spirit, because it distracts us from our essential purpose. It places our focus on the power instead of the purpose. And there are a lot of folks who have gotten that horse and cart backwards. I have gotten it backwards in my own life. And I need for you to hear me say the whole point of it all is that we would share our faith. So listen, what does it look like? Well, I'm not claiming to be the best example, okay? Because this is an area of my life that I do in fits and starts, right? So I'm not claiming to walk in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. I don't, okay? But I'm going to tell you a story about a time when I really was. I just actually prayed for the first time in my life and said, Lord, I just want for you to just unleash your power in me. I don't want no restrictions, God. You do what you want to do, right? And I remember I walked into a Roses, which is a place where the Holy Spirit dwells, for sure. I walked into a Roses, and there was a guy who was standing at the door as I was walking in, and he was wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt. You know, you remember the t-shirts with the big, it was a mouth and the tongue sticking out, remember that? Yeah, yeah. He was wearing that shirt, and I said, I don't know why I said this. I felt like I was supposed to say it. I said, do you know the gospel? No, that's not what I said. I didn't say that. I said, that's a cool t-shirt. I love that t-shirt. I was like, that's a concert t-shirt. Are you like a fan? Have you seen him in concert? Or did you just get it at like a Target or whatever? Like, tell me the story behind your shirt. He goes, man, I'm a lifelong fan. I've never seen him in concert, but I love the Rolling Stones, and I had to have the shirt. I was like, man, I get it. They're awesome. I rock to the Rolling Stones all the time. And I was like, that's really cool, man. Really cool shirt. I was like, well, listen, God bless you, brother. I'm gonna go get some lunch. And he grabbed my arm. He grabbed my arm, and he said, last night, there was a big storm in Abilene the night before. He grabbed my arm, he said, last night, during that storm, the lightning and the thunder, he said, I'm in the middle of this darkness in my life that I can't explain, and I prayed to God last night. I said, God, please send someone to me who can tell me how I can get my life straight with you, how I can get my life right with you, and here you are. And right there in the middle of Roses, I shared the gospel with this guy. I took him back to meet the pastor of the church that I was attending because we were supposed to meet with lunch. I was just grabbing something to go and leaving, and I was going to say hi to him, my pastor, on my way out. I took this guy back there, introduced him to my pastor. He sat down and ate lunch with my pastor. Look, that's what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, when he's empowering you. That's what it looks like. Another time I was at a Wendy's. I was at a Wendy's and it was lunch. I was eating lunch, but it was like 3 o'clock because I was a minister and I don't eat at normal times, right? So I'm at Wendy's and I'm the only person in there, and there's a lady behind the counter, and she's like, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I want the spicy chicken sandwich, obviously, right? Why would I order anything else, you know?" And she's taking my order and I'm getting ready to pay her, and I was like, "Hey, is there any way that I can be praying for you today? I mean, there's nobody else in there," and I just felt the Lord telling me I needed to ask her. She immediately started to cry. She said, "Yes, you can pray for me." She said, "I've been living with my uncle because my boyfriend kicked me out of the house. I've been living with my uncle. And my kids have been taken away from me because I just found out that my uncle was abusing my children. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to see him again. Would you pray for me?" And I did. I shared the gospel with her and I prayed for her. Can I just say, friends, like, these are the stories that are supposed to characterize our lives. If we will surrender ourselves to the leadership and to the power of the Holy Spirit, if we'll allow him to fill us and to work in us, friends, here's what I know. When our lives are yielded to God's purpose and empowered by his Spirit, he's going to lead us to people who need him. We are to be witnesses. And here's the thing, these guys that were with Jesus, they had traveled with Jesus for all these years, but even though they had traveled, the farthest they'd been with Jesus was Jerusalem. And you know, that's probably the farthest they had been away from their home in their entire life. So when Jesus is like, "Hey, be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea," they were like, "Sweet, right? I can do that. I've been to Judea. I've even been to Jerusalem. It's a long way, but I've been there." And they're like, "I can do that. That sounds really great." But then he's like, "And Samaria." And they're like, "Oh, hold up," right? Because here's the thing, those Samaritans, man, we don't like those people. They don't even worship the real God. They're a bunch of crazy people over there. We don't like those people, man. I don't like Samaritans. You tell me I'm supposed to go to the Samaritans. Jesus is like, "Yeah." And I need you to hear me. When our lives are yielded to God's purpose, when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, friends, we will be led into relationships with people we strongly disagree with and even dislike. Because God doesn't just call us to Jerusalem and Judea. He also calls us to Samaria. And so you can imagine right now what category of person annoys you the most, right? Just go ahead and imagine. Houston Astros fans. That's God has already led me into relationship with some Astros fans, and I'm allowing his grace to work through me. But you know what I'm talking about? That person, those group of people that you are most annoyed by, that you most dislike, I promise you, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to them with the power of his gospel. God leads Philip to Samaria. He goes up to Samaria. Not too long after this event that we're talking about, Philip goes up to Samaria and people just start surrendering their lives to Christ. So many of them turning their hearts and their lives to Christ. He has to ask for Peter and John to come up there and help him out, right? And they lay hands on these people and the Holy Spirit falls on those people and God begins to do amazing, incredible things. And friends, that's what God wants to do with you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to use you in the lives of people that you don't even like. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But then he didn't stop there. He says, "Hey, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and guess what? Ends of the earth." And the disciples are like, "I thought Samaria was the end of the earth." He's like, "No, there's way more out there." These disciples, these believers, they had never been more than a few miles from their homes in their entire lives. And these apostles carried the gospel to Europe. They carried it to North Africa. They carried it to Asia. They carried it farther east into India, the entire known world at the time. They carried the gospel to all of those places. These guys who had never been more than a few miles from their home. And I need you to hear this. When our lives are yielded to God's purposes, when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, God will lead us to places that we can't even imagine going right now. That's what he does. And I'm not just talking about physical places. That's not just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he will lead you to places. Some of you, God is going to lead you. Some of you, God is going to lead you into the ghetto. He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you to communities where poverty exists and where it is the main thing. He's going to lead you to this place that you never could have seen yourself going. Some of you, he's going to lead you into foster care. You never could imagine that you would take a child that wasn't your child into your home and love them to Jesus. You never imagined it. God's going to do it in your life. Some of you, I don't know where he's going to lead you, but he is going to lead you to places that you can't even begin to think about right now. Because that's what he does. That's what the power of his Holy Spirit allows us to do. You want to know if you're walking? Listen. You want to know if you're walking with the Spirit this morning? Do you want to know if you're filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you sharing your faith? When's the last time you told somebody about the love of Jesus? And friends, if our answer is like so many times in our life, I can't really remember. Maybe a year ago, maybe several months ago, like if that's our answer, then we know already. We're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not allow us to live our lives like that. So here's the thing this morning. It's time for us to aim. It's time for us to focus on where we're supposed to be aiming right now. And what that means for some of us, if we just need to ask, we've already seen in our lives that the evidence of the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit is not at work in our lives. We just need to ask this morning. We just need to ask the Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. I need you to do that. Somebody here needs to ask the Lord that question. Ask him to do it. But here's the thing. You can't say to the Lord God, fill me with your power, but only do these things. Right? Only fill me with your power, but only if it looks like this. That's not how it works. We've got to surrender ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit completely. Ask God to help you aim at his target, not yours, not mine. Ask him to help you aim at his target. When you walked in this morning, you got a little card. You want to pull that card out? So if you got one, hold it up for me. Some of you, most of you got one, right? Anybody got one? You got to reach for them. There's some out there. Okay, so on one side of that card, you know what it says? It says for you to write down the person that you're praying for. So right now, I just want you to close your eyes, open up your heart to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit right now. And I just want for you to ask God to put the name of one person who doesn't know Jesus into your mind and into your heart right now. As that name comes to you, I just want you to write it down. Write it on this card. On the other side of that card, there's a prayer. On the other side of that card, there's a prayer that basically says every day we would pray, right? Lord, lead me today to someone who doesn't know you. Give me the courage, give me the wisdom to share your gospel with them. And I'm just going to challenge you this week. I'm going to challenge you. I want you to keep this card. I want you to put it someplace where you can see it. And every day, as you begin your day, I just want you to say that prayer. It'll take you 15 seconds. I want you to say that prayer. Say it from the bottom of your heart. And then let's see what the Lord does among us. Last thing. There's some people here this morning, and for you, you've never... like all this talk about sharing the gospel, about the power of the Holy Spirit, it just feels totally alien to you. Maybe it's because you've never surrendered your heart and your life to Christ. You've never done what this young man and these two young women did up here this morning. You've never given your heart and your life to Christ. And what I want to say is that the power of the Holy Spirit, this power that is miracle power that reshapes our reality, God wants to place that resurrection power in you. And if you would say this morning to the Lord God, if you would say to Him, God, I need You. I mean, I know what my life looks like apart from You. I'm a danger. I'm deadly. I hurt people. I've broken Your heart. I've wounded others. I need You, God. Please forgive me. Please rescue me. I give all that I am to You. If you would say that this morning, God is going to do a miracle in your life. Listen to what He's going to do. He's going to cause His Spirit, His power to rest within you. He's going to place His name on you. He's going to call you His son, His daughter. He's going to say out loud over all the cosmos that you belong to Him. That's what He will do this morning if you'll surrender your heart and your life to Him. Not only that, He will fill you with His power and He will use you to miraculously transform the lives of other people all around you. And you, my friend, can be someone who just throws pure smoke in the name of Jesus. How about that? I'm going to pray for us, and our worship team is going to come back up here. I just want you to spend this time thinking, have I surrendered my heart and my life to Christ? Who am I going to pray for? Who does God want to lead me to, right? Who does He want to place on my heart that I can invite the church, that I can share the gospel with, right? And am I ready to ask God every day to show me somebody who doesn't know Him? So let's reflect on all those things as we worship together. God, we love You. We've received Your grace, Lord, many of us in this room. We've surrendered our lives to You. We know what Your mercy looks like. We know that You're a firm foundation. We know all these truths. And in spite of the fact that we know all of these things, in spite of the fact that we can sing with confidence that You are a firm foundation, that we will not be shaken, that Your love is a secure place for us to stand, in spite of the fact that we know all of that, we are not motivated, we are not compelled to talk about it with anyone else. Oh, Lord God, would You forgive us? Would You forgive us? Would You forgive us for taking Your sacrifice for granted? Would You forgive us for diminishing the truth of Your love? Would You forgive us for neglecting our purpose in You? God, right now, I ask that You would fill this place, fill us with Your Spirit. I pray that Your mighty power would rest in us, would flow through us into a world that is desperate for You. God, do that work in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing together.